Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, August 30th, 2023. I want to thank everyone for your belief and your trust in this platform. And I want to give a special shout out and thank you to Coach Dave Dobmeier, CoachDaveLive.com, and also Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Boy, she's been through the mill, and we're going to be talking about that with my special guest. I'm so excited to have with me. Eric the Tech and I were having a conversation, I think it was pretty much at the beginning of the week, and we've had this conversation before. You know, where are the patriotic attorneys? Where are the patriotic lawyers? Where are the people to stand up for our freedoms, our rights? Who are the freedom fighters among the people that are skilled in law? Well, the answer, obviously, there are a few, and one of the most prominent, if not the most prominent, attorney that fits that bill is Tom Renz. Now, folks, I know you know Tom Renz. He's testified before Congress. He's done so much. He's been everywhere, and I've followed him, followed his work. If you go to, folks, if you go to TomRenz.com, Renz-law.com, he's also got a Substack, he's got a Give, Send, Go. All of the links, rather than me tell them to you and then keep repeating them and then have you forget them, if you go to HagmanPI.com, under today's episode, you'll find those links. But it's so important that we support this man. Now, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, okay? And as soon as we get done with this program, I'm going to be sending some support to Tom Renz and supporting his work, because we have too few freedom fighters. We have too few men of his caliber willing to put everything on the line and fight, willing to stand up and say no. He's an educator. He's a businessman. He's a patriot. He's a father. Okay, he's a dad. He's one of us. But more importantly, he's a fighter. And with that, I want to welcome Tom Renz. Tom, thank you so much for coming on the Hagman Report.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you. You know, I've followed your work. I posted a link to your last, or your, not your last, one of your Substack articles about modified and the difference between modified and messenger RNA. So important to read, but you have so much more. And now, especially today, this is important to me. We're looking down the barrel, if you believe what's happening out there, if you believe what you're seeing and hearing, potentially additional lockdowns, additional mandates, additional this and that, that are going to take away more of our freedoms. Are you seeing that? And what's going on with that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. So, Doug, you got to understand that what we have is a situation. In 2021, at the World Economic Forum meeting, one of the members stated that COVID was the most profitable event in human history. Now, I don't know about your listeners, but I can tell you it certainly was not a profitable event for me. I've had to, you know, rebuild my business, rebuild everything, structure everything differently. And God's been good, and I've done a good job of doing that. But that's only been because I've been the only one willing to fight, frankly.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of demand and not a whole lot of supply. So, you know, with this being something that these globalist monsters view as the most profitable event in the human history, and understand it is, right? I mean, if you're locking down all the competition and you're Amazon, you're making a lot of money. If all people are spending all their time online and you're Google, you're making a lot of money. Yep. Right. So this is a profitable thing if you're a World Economic Forum member. But if you're a regular person whose business was locked down, well, it was a disaster. So, but the people who control the world, the big money guys, they view this as massively profitable, a good thing, eliminates competition, makes it good for them. So, of course, they're going to do it again. Why wouldn't they do it again? It worked well. And by the way, we were able to beat back the first lockdowns and to fight back. But that by no means was that victory definitive. Until we see people in jail for the first set of COVID lockdowns, until we see actual justice done, this fight has to continue or they'll just keep doing it.
You know, fighting back has a price. I know that, well, I'm on a personal level. I know that I had to fire my own, my personal care physician of I think it was 10 years over his pushing of the injecticide, what I like to call it, the so-called vaccines. Yeah. And we really got in, I'll tell you what, my wife, we almost got into it in his office between the masks and the pushing of the vaccines. But I've seen other doctors and I've talked to them. In fact, I've had one on the show, including Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who was in studio a couple of times along with Coach Dave, who paid a price, a huge price professionally. They've had their medical licenses suspended or terminated or taken away from them over the available treatments. And so when you speak out, you're actually like you, okay? I mean, you're under fire. And folks, let me tell you something. Attorney Tom Renz will not tell you half the stuff that he's going through, if at all, okay? This is why we need to support men like him and give to his cause, build up a war chest so he can actually not have to worry about outpacing his supply lines, like you said. But yes, so I didn't mean to take the I just want to make sure that people know how important it is. When you speak up, man, you put yourself out there.
Well, I mean, that's really something. You're right. I can't go into everything that's happened. I mean, we've been through the death threats. We've been through the buy-offs or attempted buy-offs. We've been through the hit pieces. You know, so the thing about this that's really shocking is I'm just some guy from Fremont, Ohio, right? We got 12,000 people in my town. It's a little town. I quietly mind my own business. There's lockdowns. I say no, right? No, right. I'm not locking down. Go to hell. And I fight it. Next thing I know, I mean, I've got craziness abound. I'm still just the same guy, but like I look around me and it's insanity. I've got like these big global monsters that are like, you know, taking steps to try and take me out. And it's a good thing I fight hard because otherwise they would have. It's been incredible. I mean, they've hit me financially. They've hit me in the press. They've hit me with all sorts of threats and this and that and other. And at the end of the day, they failed because I'm standing for truth and I stand on integrity and that's not going to change. But man, you know, you just imagine that you just wake up one day and you're just some regular working guy. And the next thing you know, you got someone sending you something showing you that the company that you just partnered with was actually, controlled by the CIA. And what the hell is that? Who has that? My life is like a novel. And it's like, I'm just a regular working guy. Yeah. So I don't know. It's incredible. I actually have taken pictures of some of the situations I've been in because I'm like, no one will believe this. And so like quietly, privately over a beer, I'll show those pictures and people will be like, you're kidding me. You know, it's like, it's just mind blowing. It's just mind blowing.
Truth is stranger than fiction nowadays, and I've got to say that, you know, we've experienced a little bit of what you're talking about. You know, the lawfare, the threats. My goodness, you know, regardless of whether or not, I mean, how can you tell if a threat is actually real? You know,
you can't.
And then. But the constant bombardment of everything when you're in the front lines, it's tiring. And again, folks, that's why I thank you for supporting us. But also, when you find a gem like Tom Renz, who's an attorney, who knows what he's talking about, who's willing to fight for everything, man, you got to support his platform and Tom Renz. Go to TomRenz.com. Also, there's a Give, Send, Go. But they'll all be at HagmanPI.com under this description box. And that's why, from personal knowledge, that's in here. I know what he's going through or has gone through, or at least a little bit of it. So, okay. But so we've got, I think we're going to have to say no again, right? Because, hey, we might be locked down or they might be saying, hey, you know, it's coming.
Yep.
What have we learned from the last one to this one?
Well, we've learned that nobody can make a difference, right? I mean, if there's one thing in my life that I can speak to personally, it's that a working guy that's trying to look around and figure out what the hell's happening can make a difference, right? I wasn't special. I'm still not special. I'm just some guy who fights, right?
Yeah.
And that is the biggest threat. That's why I get so much blowback, because you can't have a nobody fighting back for the right reason, right? Like when I had the opportunity to sell out, which I've had plenty of them, I didn't. I just kept fighting because I got two little boys that look at their daddy and they got to be proud of me, right? I mean, I'm not a perfect man or a perfect dad, but yeah, I try to generally do the right thing. And that I am convinced is the single greatest fear that the people I fight against have, is the realization that if people recognize that they have the power, that government only exists with the consent of the government, that these globalists, you know, tyranny is always an illusion. It's a sleight of hand. You think of Kim Jong-il, one of the most brutal dictators on the planet. So if all however many millions of people in North Korea said, hell no, we're done, and they wanted to take that little pot-bellied porker out, he'd be gone. He'd be gone. It's always an illusion, because one man can't control millions without tricking them into giving their consent. And that's what tyranny always is. And see, the problem is they can call me names, they can make up stories, they can lie about me, they can make threats, they can make whatever. At the end of the day, I'm going to keep fighting. And at the end of the day, what that does is that shows one thing. I don't have to be intimidated. I don't have to be controlled. I don't have to do anything other than die and pay taxes, apparently. But, you know, I mean, I don't even have to pay taxes. I could go to jail if I want. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, the only one I'm accountable is to God. And, you know, these guys can jump up and down. They can threaten. They can tell me how powerful they are. But you know what? It doesn't matter. And I'm still standing. 3.5 years of nonstop fighting against we've sued everybody from Biden on down. We have fought every fight. You know, some of them we win, some of them we lose, but we keep fighting. And that is the most important thing. It's not Tom Renz. It's important. It's that some nobody from a little town can fight back and have an impact. And, you know, on COVID, we've had as much impact as anybody.
Yes. I'm amazed because I was introduced to you, whether you know it or not, about three and a half years ago, at least your work, your presence, and your fight, when you were just beginning to fight. And, you know, I watched as your efforts, your pushback made a difference. And you changed the hearts and minds of many people. And then you became a bigger threat to the globalists than they thought. So, but then on, you know, again, like you said, on the flip side, it's a fight. So you win some, whether it's court cases or whatever you go through during the day, and you lose some, but at the end of the day, you get up, you dust yourself off, and you get back in that fight. And that's what I think all of us have to do that. And I think you can relate to the average person. I feel like I can relate to the average person because I'm just a regular guy too. But we have to fight. I got grandkids. You've got children. I've got grandchildren. I'm not going to leave this crap to them. You know?
Hell no, we aren't.
No.
Hell no, we aren't. And I am the average guy. So yeah, I can relate because I am the average guy.
Yeah.
You know, you want to know what I like? Yeah, I have to fly around and do all these sort of big shot things here and again, and that's super, I guess. You know what I like? A beer and a campfire.
There you go.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
That's what makes me happy. You give me a couple good friends, real friends.
Yep.
They're hard to find at this point.
Oh, yeah.
A beer and a campfire, and I'm a happy man. I don't want to move. I don't want to go to, I don't want a loud club. I don't want a loud noise. I want beer and a campfire and maybe some happy country music playing in the background, like Richmond, north of Richmond. You know, I mean, but that's it, right? I'm like to think I'm a pretty simple guy, and that's what they're afraid of. So if we, the people, stand, and it's time to stand, because if you put a mask back on, you're part of the problem.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't care if you have to boycott a company. I don't care if you have to boycott your hospital, your doctor. I don't care what you got to boycott. I'm going to tell you, I keep this right here. I got two of them, two of these.
Okay.
I keep them right on my desk, directly in front of me. And I keep them there so I don't forget. Never forget. And I don't forget. I got a long memory. I will tell you, I keep that there, and over my dead body, will those see my face again? I don't care if I got to drive to everything I have to do all over the country. I won't get on an airplane if they tell me I got to wear one. I don't care if I got to ride my bike. I don't care. You know, I'll turn it into a fundraiser. I'll just tell them I'm biking across the country because I can't fly because of the mask. You would donate to my ride. I don't care.
Yep.
I don't care. I'm not above it. I got no pride. I'm here for one reason, freedom. And we're going to keep going until we get it. But I can't do it alone.
No, no. And you know what, folks? That is so important. But what you said earlier, I mean, if everyone stood up and said, no, I'm not going to do this. The science doesn't support it. Your junk science, your paid for science, maybe gives you a mandate for it, but the science doesn't support it. By the way, folks, Tom Renz has done some incredible investigative reports on a number of issues, really from the election fraud to the current day. I mean, everything. But if everyone stood up, if everyone stuck together, and if we elevated people like Tom Renz by way of his supporting him, where he could be that person to represent us, that's what we need to do. So I would urge everyone to support Tom Renz, tomrenz.com. There you can go, you find Give, Send, Go. Again, the links will be at HagmanPR.com. But yes, we've got to fight. And if everyone says no, then we can overcome it. I love the analogy about the pot-bellied garden gnome over there, and our chia pet over there in North Korea. I believe that to be true.
Yeah. Doug, if you mind me saying, so let me tell you, and I just want to say thank you, because I appreciate you, you know, suggesting people support me more than you can know. So just so that you know on that, some clients I can bill, but most clients I can't, because people can't afford the work that I do. You know, a lawyer on the cheap end is $300 an hour.
Oh.
A high-end lawyer and a guy that does the work that I do, it's typically $500 to $1,000.
Yep.
And, you know, who can afford that? So a lot of my work is unbilled. And what I did was, you know, I made the decision that it's not about money. I just got to be able to afford to fight. So what I did was, a long time ago, I put out a Give, Send, Go. And then, you know, I got a couple other ways you can donate at tomrenz.com or a bunch of different places. And what I did was I said, you know, listen, I want 1 million people to give me $5 a week, because if I can do that, I can win our freedom back. Right. If I have the resources, I can win our freedom.
Yep.
But I wanted it to be 1 million people giving me $5 a week, rather than one person giving me $5 million. Because here's what I've found. When you start asking people to support you, and I'm very grateful. I've had some people that have donated. The biggest donation I got is I once got a donation for $50,000, and it was incredible.
Mm.
But when people do a lot of money, they start wanting you to do things and they to control you.
Yeah, they think they can control you, yes.
My accountability is to God and freedom, and it will not change. And I don't care if I have to do it from a bridge embankment. It's not going to change. I won't flex on that, because it's the only thing that's kept me standing to this point. So, what I need is a whole bunch of people to give a little bit rather than one person. Because unless you work 18 hours a day next to me, you aren't going to know what I know. So no matter how much I go out there, if you trust me, that's great. If you see me doing things and you want to support me, that's great. If you don't, that's fine too. But, you know, I can't turn it over to someone who spends a few hours a week looking at this, this situation. And that's what happens, is you get these guys, you know, you run into some of the billionaires and they're brilliant people in their fields.
Yep.
But they're so used to being always right in their fields that they'll think that they know every field. And so they'll tell me, hey, you got to do this, and I'll give you this money for this. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, if I do this, it's going to screw up everything because of that. And it's like they don't know it because, like I said, a regular guy. So if you think you're like a blue collar, if you're like a factory worker, you know, sometimes your boss will tell you to do something. You're like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. The boss will, like, do it anyways, and you just got to do it, right? Well, except for I just tell the boss, don't pay me. I don't care. I'm going to do it my way. So that's kind of what the way that this all works. So it ends up being just a we the people thing, and it's got to be that, because if we the people don't back it, it isn't going to make any difference anyways, because we've got to have people educated and helping me fight. And it's not just the money. I mean, the first thing I always ask for is prayers. And the first thing that I will ask your audience for is, I don't care if you don't have a dime, please send me a prayer. If you're of the persuasion, if you're of the praying type, please. Because I'll tell you, I've kept up, 4 to 6 hours sleep for 3.5 years only because God's kept me moving. And it's been a tough go. So that keeps me going. I'm still feeling good. So just keep the prayers coming.
Yeah, exactly. And thank you for that. And thank you for all you do. And folks, I think this is important for you to understand who Tom Renz is, because again, he was, but by his own willingness to become involved, he was thrust out and leading the charge for freedom. And if you don't know who he is, and the fact that, and I can tell you this because I'm an investigator, I know attorneys, I know people, and I'm able to check things out. I can tell you one thing: Tom Renz is a real deal, and his integrity is unmatched. And I appreciate all the work he does. Not that you need my imprimatur, not that you need my approval, or backing.
No, that's not true at all. I mean, listen, Doug, you got a lot of credibility with a lot of people, and you've worked hard to earn that. So it means a lot to me. I know I've got a platform now. I know I can reach people. I know that I do certain things that not everybody gets to do. But I still live my life. I'm still living in the same office, same stuff, same things. You know, nothing's changed. You know, wife still gives me hell when I don't take the trash out. It's all the same stuff. Nothing, the world may be viewing me differently than they did 4 years ago, but I just still the same guy doing the same stuff. You know, I mean, I went for a walk in the park yesterday, just like I did the day before.
Yep.
So those things are really, really crucial. And when people, especially guys like you who have the ability to dig into my background and to look at me and to, figure out all the things that you can figure out. When you say, no, listen, I've looked at this guy and he's not what you see is what you get. I really appreciate that, because the trust of the people who support me is absolutely everything, because they make up so many lies about me. They make up so many, some of the stuff that, it's horrible. It's horrible. Luckily, I don't care.
Yeah. And I've seen some of that and people will say, well, can we trust him? Can we trust him? And my answer about you is absolutely 100%. I found nothing to change my mind. Now, that doesn't mean tomorrow you could, sell out and then spend the rest of your life.
I could.
Yeah, but however, I know that that's
the offers are there, but I keep turning them down.
Right. As I could, I could probably sell out and spend my life, the rest of my life on some, island somewhere. But I can't do that because I can't leave what this mess to my grandkids. So what do we do from here? Because I just saw today, my goodness, the U.S. government shut down Golden Valley Farms, which is an independent meat producer. There's a war on beef, which is absolutely insane. And then you got these mask mandates coming back and these shot mandates coming back. What do we need to do here? Aside from not complying, but exposing this, obviously, or on the flip side, what's coming at us here? What do you see coming at us?
So before I forget, there's just an article that came out. The study came out, showed that these masks, these N95s, have cancer-causing agents, and they can actually cause liver damage long-term use.
Yep.
So, you know, FYI, they don't stop COVID, but they will kill you. They're not as dangerous as the shots, but they're terrible for you. But to get to your question, what do we do, right? So lawfare is working. It's working quite well. And in fact, the lawfare, as I've implemented it, has, well, if you go back to 2020 when I started fighting,
okay.
During 2020, you saw several things happen. We had the J6 stuff. We had the election fraud. We had the COVID lockdowns. We had the shifts that came after that, you know, for the corruption from Biden and his crew. And, yeah, there were a lot of people fighting back on a lot of fronts. Now, I would put this out there, right? Now, a lot of people have fought COVID. But I will say this. I'm proud to say I was amongst the first because you couldn't fight it any sooner than I did. I started fighting it before they locked us down. And the day that they locked us down, I was on it that day. So, you know, there's a lot of people who can take credit for fighting back, but they didn't start before me. That they couldn't have done. And part of what I did early on was I recruited others, right? People with bigger names, with bigger voices, bigger platforms. I educated people. I shared information. I did everything I could to wake the public up. You know, my platform, especially starting out, was non-existent. But we worked hard to be able to educate people. We kept filing lawsuits. We kept pushing for legislative change. And all these things together make lawfare. Lawfare is legal political PR. Now, I would go so far as to say, yeah, maybe 70 to 80% of lawfare is making sure that the public gets the message. Because the public fighting back is crucial, whether it's for the courts or for the politicians. If the entirety of the public is aware of an issue, it makes it easier in the courts. It also makes it easier to push politicians. So that is a crucial thing. That's why. So I do the Tom Renz show, you know, every night on the America Out Loud network. I do a podcast of it on Renz Law, and then on Tom Renz on Locals and Tom Renz on Rumble. And I do that every day. Plus, I do interviews with all these guys like you who have huge platforms and all these people that listen. And I do that because it impacts the situation in the courts. It impacts the situation with the politicians. That free speech thing is so fundamental to preserving our democracy. So I use that everywhere. And the reason that I'm answering your question this way is because what do we do? Well, we continue and we expand, right? So one of the great frustrations I have is, you know, I'm some guy from Ohio, so it took a while to develop my credibility. And the other thing is I just don't have the resources, right? Now, I know you're asking people for resources, but understand that when we talk about the resources, you have to think about it this way. George Soros writes $25 million checks to his attorneys like it's popcorn. I've raised less than $2 million in over 3 years. So compare that. You know, you've got the top Harvard-educated legal teams on the planet getting $25 million checks all the time, and you've got one guy from Ohio getting a few thousand dollars here or there, which I'm grateful for. I'm honored for. That's huge money to me. But in terms of what we have to do, now, here's where that has to go, right? So I've developed a case, and I believe it would effectively allow me to sue the vaccine manufacturers directly. I believe there's very good legal precedent. I believe there's standing. I believe there's all sorts of things. And I believe it would work. My New York case against EcoHealth Alliance for creating SARS-CoV-2, I mean, I would say that that's a big part of the reason Anthony Fauci stepped down. So when I say it will work, understand that I'm not just spitting that out there. I think it will actually work.
By the way, thank you on that case. I don't know how many people are familiar with that. The case against EcoHealth Alliance, that is sending or has sent shockwaves, I think, within the upper crust of the pharmaceutical / medical science cabal. But go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and by the way, I would be remiss not to thank Make Americans Free Again and Patty Finn, because Patty's, you know, helping pretty much leading the litigation on it. She's done a great job. And, you know, MAFA has been an active participant in this case and supporting it from the beginning. But that case, it took me over 8 months to develop that case. And it was an extremely wasn't simple. I'll tell you that. But, you know, you look at that and that's moving forward. Now you look at the case that I would need to file to get to the vaccine manufacturers.
Okay.
So that case is it's a different structure. It's a different type of case. It's, I don't want to give the specific law that I would use because I don't want to give that away. But the cost of filing that case would be about $5 to $10 million. And the reason for that is that you got, let me explain how this works. Let's say that I take zero for this case. Let's say that I work on this case for 3 to 5 years because it would be a minimum of 3 to 5 years and that I take $0 for it. Even if I did that, it would take a minimum of probably 5 to 7 attorneys outside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And a minimum of 3 or so staff dedicated full time to that case to get anywhere with it. And the reason for that is let's say that I spend the next 6 months writing the 1,000 pages that I would need to make the complaint. Once it's filed, what'll happen is they will use these motions and these tricks that they use in court. And all of these things have deadlines. So you got to respond within 21 days. You got to respond within however many days, right? Well, one guy can't do that. It's not feasible. Like the amount of work, because it's such a massive case, because there's so much data, so much information, so much this, one guy can't meet those deadlines. So what would happen is I would file the case and I would fail to be able to argue it appropriately. So the court would then throw it out and probably sanction me for doing a half-hearted job on it. Mm-hmm. Not because I didn't want to do my best, but because you just can't bring those cases without having the right team in place, or you're not doing your job for the court, and that's unethical. So I won't do that because I won't violate my ethics. And so, but it's very frustrating. So, you know, the same thing applies to several other cases. There are some major cases that I could file that would help on the Trump stuff, that would help, you know, with them trying to railroad him. There's some major cases that could be filed on, you know, in, as they relate to the southern border. I mean, there's just huge cases, and I'm pretty solid at figuring out how to do these things and coaching them through. It's just a matter of the hours and the day, and I can only be on so many things. I mean, typically on some of these cases, you know, but for Patty Finn and the rest of the team who's working on the Eco Health case, I wouldn't be able to do maybe one other case. At the same time, you know, because that big of a case requires that much effort.
You know, I've worked with attorneys for the last 35 years, and I've seen, over that period of time, I've seen this get more complicated. But to what you said about needing the extra manpower, I mean, requiring the 5 to 7 attorneys, because you can't, obviously, you can't be everywhere at one time and devote. I get this, and people really need to understand, which leads me to ask, I mean, are there enough attorneys like you out there who are willing to put their everything on the line and assist you in the fight? I mean, please tell me there are. Please. I just haven't found them, aside from you.
There are a handful of really good people out there, and I've worked with a lot of them. You know, I mean, there's a couple names, you know. I mean, you probably heard Patty's name.
Yeah.
You've heard, you know, Warner Mendenhall's been fighting real hard. You know, there's, you know, Mike Hamilton, Ron Jenkins have both done a lot of work with me. You know, right now I got Eric Jones and a guy out of Georgia, Jeff Stelzer, and Chris Schild, who are working with me. I've had there's enough attorneys out there. The problem is that, so for example, when people are helping me, you know, most of the time, you know, I just got to start out and tell them up front, listen, I don't know if there's going to be any money for this. So if you can't afford to cover your own bills, I don't know if I can pay you for it, because if I don't have money,
yeah,
I can't give you money.
Yep.
And, you know, that's the problem. You know, so it's hard. Now, I will tell you, because I've developed a bit of credibility and because I've developed what I've done, there are now some bigger firms and some much more powerful places that are willing to listen to me, but they won't touch it without money. None of them will touch it. There's just a handful of us that are willing to do pro bono work. Anna Garner is an attorney. She was out of New Mexico. You know, she's been doing an immense amount of pro bono work. Bob Gargas is from Ohio, has fought hard. A bunch of people have fought hard But it, you know, unless you're a retired attorney and don't need to make anything, it's tough because there's no funding for it. And so for, you know, guys like me, I got two little boys and a wife. I got to take care of my family.
Sure.
You know, if I don't make enough to keep the lights on, I don't make enough to keep the lights on. And I'm dumb enough to have committed to it regardless. But, you know, that's been a real, real issue. And that's why I say, you know, when I said if I could get a million people to give me $5 a week, I know that's an absurd amount of money. I can assure you it would go towards the cause. I'm not trying to be rich. If I cared about being rich, I would have sold out to Pfizer or someone a long time ago, and I'd be living a real good life. Because, I mean, I've had some pretty interesting, air quotes, job offers. Uh-huh. Since this has started, and you know, it's just, but yeah, I gotta like what I see in the mirror at the end of the day.
And there it is. I'm so pleased to have with me my guest Tom Renz, TomRenz.com. Again, the all the links to where you need to go in the program description box. I do hope that you support him and support him deeply. Generously, because he really is a defender of our freedom, and he's fighting hard. I got to ask you, I've had doctor, if you don't mind me changing gears here for a second, you're involved in a fight, and I feel, I mean, my heart hurts about this. I've had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny in studio a couple of times. Can you comment on what is going on with her, or do you prefer not? I don't want to take you anywhere you don't want to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've commented on her publicly, so I can. And what I'll tell you is that it's my opinion that she's experiencing one of the most egregious violations of due process I've ever seen. You know, there's a couple principles in law that are pretty universal. One of them is that if you are an administrative agency like the Ohio Medical Board and you've got a rule, you have to live by that rule. And for example, one of the things that we've got in her case is, you know, they said they accused her not of hurting anybody, not of doing anything that was medically wrong, but of failing to comply with their investigation, right? Failing to comply with their investigation. They have suspended her license for that reason. Mm. Now, here's the deal. They send a document, right? Sherry hands it to me. It says, hey, we need you to do the following. And if you, unless you want to object, if you object, you know, we can go to court and compel you. Okay. So that's what the document says. So I say, I object, right? Because that's my legal right to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, somehow they decided that my objection constituted a failure to cooperate. What does that mean?
What, a contempt charge?
No, it wasn't a contempt charge. It was they decided that Sherry did not cooperate because she exercised her legal right to object, and they didn't bother going to court. I'm happy to comply with anything that I'm ordered to do.
Sure.
I'm happy to do that. And so Sherry, frankly, we got no problem with that. But you can't send something that violates her rights. I object to it. And because you don't want the court to disagree with you, you don't take it to the court. You have to go to the court. If I object because you're violating her rights, you've got to go to the court to enforce it. And the idea that you don't want to go to the court because you know the court's going to say you're full of crap,
yeah,
does not give you the right to ignore that that's your obligation. And that's what happened to Sherry. You know, they asked us questions that were absolutely out of line. They tried to do things that, in my opinion, were absolutely out of line. And so we objected. And then they said, well, that's failure to cooperate. Well, your document, Ohio Medical Board, says that we can object and that if we object, you have to go to court. The reason, by the way, that their document says that is because it's required constitutionally under the rules of due process that they do that. They have to provide due process before they deprive someone of life, liberty, or otherwise, or property. And she has a constitutional, well-recognized constitutional property interest in her license, which they're now suspending without due process. This is very straightforward. And the fact that the Republican Attorney General in Ohio is playing games with this. Now, I am still waiting. Dave Yost actually got on, instead of saying, yeah, our guy screwed up. Because his assistant AG went out and said, oh, well, If we had to do this every time, if every doctor was able to exercise their due process rights, that would really gum up the process. We couldn't get anything done. Okay. So Dave Yost, Republican AG for Ohio, instead of coming out and saying, you know, my guy screwed up, we do believe in due process rights, we do believe they should be protected. Instead, Dave Yost comes out and says, oh, this is like a breathalyzer. You know, we can suspend your license if you refuse a breathalyzer. It's not like a breathalyzer, because if a cop pulls you over and for no reason pulls you over and demands a breathalyzer, that cop can't do that.
Correct.
That cop has to have a good faith reason to give you that breathalyzer. We objected to you giving the breathalyzer in good faith. If you want to still give the breathalyzer, you go to court and you compel it. That's the way it's got to be. And that's due process. You can't punish someone until they, with a by depriving them of a property right without due process. And to compare this to a breathalyzer is absolutely absurd.
Ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now, are there any remedies for that? Because I guess we're compelled to play by their rules until we're not anymore. That's the way I look at it. So, all right. So this is where it's at. Now, do you have any remedy to say, okay, wait a second, we're going to appeal this? Or
We are in the process of appealing, and we're looking at filing a suit.
Okay.
We're going to be suing them. We're suing them for a stay right now, and that's going to expand. We've got that into the courts already, and we'll be putting some more stuff in the courts coming up. And I can't say exactly what we're going to do. Now, one thing I will tell you is understand that I'm pushing for political reform on this, right? I want legislation passed to fix this issue so it doesn't keep happening.
Right.
But so I've got to talk about it. I've got to be public about it. I've got to fight this in the realm of public opinion as well. Now, with regards to the case itself, and understand I wear multiple hats. You know, I mean, I do analyst, I do political, I do all sorts of things. When I'm in the courts, there's a bit of a different thing, though, right? So one thing I can't do is politicize or you know, be political about the courts. In the courts, I have one duty. My duty in the courts and as an officer of the courts is to try and assist in facilitating the application of the law to a given set of facts. And so in that area, it's got to be much tighter. I can't comment as much or specifically. But in terms of the lack of due process and some of the things that we want to fix legislatively, I have to talk about it publicly because otherwise it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I respect the fact that now that's integrity, folks. And that's the way it should work. Okay. What Tom Renz just explained to me, that's a sign of integrity when, in fact, that line is drawn. You don't cross that line because I guarantee you there are people watching this and looking and waiting. Believe me. So thank you for that. But okay, so we try to change this legislatively. Can we? Is that even possible anymore? Because people are starting to lose hope, brother. I mean, they really are.
Well, remember, during the lockdowns, during the height of the lockdowns, we passed a bill in Ohio with a Republican legislature that limited the governor's ability to lock us down and to do this emergency nonsense. That bill was vetoed, and our Republican legislature overrode our Republican governor to make that law. So, yeah, we can.
Okay.
We can. You know, the legislation is very tough right now, and it's a tough road to travel because, you know, there's so much money trying to buy these elected officials off. And, you know, some of the lower level guys, your House reps and your county officials, you know, they think, well, you know, I'm just a county guy. You know, who cares if I take a few bucks? It'll help my family out. And does it really matter? Yes, it does. It does. It matters immensely because if we could get a few counties that have courage and a few, you know, enough state legislature that have courage, you know, we'd do something. So, you know, a great example of this is we had last session, we had House Bill 1169 in Missouri, and that was it made a lot of news and a lot of waves. And that was the law that said, hey, if you're going to put this modRNA poison or anything else that could modify my genes in the food, you have to put a label on it. I mean, that's all it said. It's a two-page bill. Everybody read it. Everybody said, well, this is a no-brainer. The Republican legislature in Missouri rejected it. Since then, the Missouri cattlemen who receive a lot of their funding from Big Pharma, like Merck and what have you, has been nonstop taking the people in that committee out to dinner and having brunches and celebrating them and spending money on them and all these sorts of things. They bought and paid for most of these committee members. Now, there were a couple that voted for the right thing, but this is a very Republican state with a very common sense bill. And they voted it down because, you know, they were owned by the lobbyists. And in fact, the response was so overwhelming nationally that the day of the vote, the committee vote, they actually took the phones off the hook at the state capitol. And the only people they talked to were the lobbyists. Think about that.
Oh, wow.
So it's very, very difficult. Now, that bill is going to come back. And that the House Speaker in Missouri, Dean Plocker, is going to have a real situation on his hands because he was told the first time that he has to kill that bill. He can't assign it to committee. He's going to be told that 10 times now. So this is going to be a real battle between the will of we the people and the will of the role of the lobbyists. Now, Missouri, you've got the home of Bayer Pharmaceuticals. So you talk about the belly of the beast. But that's going to come back because my friend who works with me, her name is Holly Jones. She's a state rep there and she doesn't care. She's got some courage. But, we're going to bring that back and we're going to fight for it again in Missouri and we're going to bring it to several other states. There's a bunch of states talking about it now and it looks like it's got a real shot at passing. You know, meanwhile, we also have this ag bill down in Congress right now. And, there is actually an exemption in the law that allows, and this is super important, Doug. So did you know that there is an exemption that allows for your organic food, it can be labeled organic, to get these gene-altering vaccines?
I learned that through you.
Yeah, because so there is an exemption.
Yeah,
there's an exemption. So you can have organic labeled food that's given these modRNA, gene therapy, saRNA, RNA tech. And understand, they change the name all the time because they don't want to have any issues. But ultimately, they can turn your food into a gene therapy, and you don't even have to know about it. And by the way, we've now been able to establish, they tried to lie about this at first. And what the lobbyists said in Missouri during the time that we pushed this bill was messenger RNA isn't transmissible. It would never do anything. It's going to be gone within 3 days and all that nonsense, right? Mm-hmm. Except for they lied. They defrauded these elected officials. So these buffoons that decided to listen to the lobbyists instead of us, they got defrauded because they were too stupid to do their job and too lazy to look into it. So what happened was this was not messenger RNA. This stuff that they're putting into us is not messenger RNA. Everybody says mRNA, messenger RNA. And the reason they say that is mRNA does stand for messenger RNA. Here's the problem. The M at the beginning is also short for mod or modified RNA. Modified RNA is the actual ingredient in all of the COVID shots. They're now putting it in the flu shot and the shingle shot. They're putting it in a lot of these things that they're going to be using in animals. And they can actually put the same technology into vegetables. So the idea that this was not transmissible or couldn't affect people is nonsense. Further, we have a study out of China showing that they can vaccinate a cow that mice can get vaccinated through drinking its milk. So this does modify, and that's the way it's designed. It's designed to do that. I have the papers. I have the documents now. Some of that stuff I didn't know about when we were pushing for 1169. But, we've continued to do our research, and we found that everything that these guys told these reps was a lie, and that these reps really let the people of Missouri down, anybody not pushing this. But we could close that organic loophole by changing one sentence in the federal law in this farm bill. And then we would know that our organic food doesn't have modified RNA and gene therapies in it. That's all we'd have to do.
Absent of that, what about informed consent? I mean, hands off the beef, hands off the animals, the food stock, the food supply, especially with this modified RNA, mod RNA, or whatever you would like to reference it. I'm going to ask a stupid question, or stupidly ask this question. Can they do that? Without our consent?
Legally, no, but legally, yes, right? Yeah. So there's a gray area of the law, and they leverage loopholes, and they leverage this, and they leverage that. Now, they can give an mRNA vaccine to a cow, and that modified RNA or saRNA, whatever it is, as long as they call it a vaccine, even if it's transmissible to you, they can legally do that. Here's the problem, though. They can legally give it to the cow. They can legally know it goes to you, but there is no informed consent then. So here's how they get around it. They don't do any studies to see whether or not it's transmitting to you because they don't want to know. They do know, but as long as they don't have an official study that shows it, they can play dumb. And so they won't do any official studies on it. It's kind of like, they keep claiming, well, we don't know how many vaccine injuries there are. Well, that just means that, you know, they haven't ran a report on it. That doesn't mean they don't know. But FOIA, understanding the Freedom of Information Act, the government doesn't have to share anything that it hasn't done. So let's say the government, we know through a number of systems, is collecting, for example, vaccine injury information on the COVID vaccines. What they do is they're very clever about how they run reports and how they title reports. That way, when you issue a Freedom of Information Act request, they can say, oh, well, that doesn't meet the criteria. And so then you don't actually get the information. So we don't get to actually see what's happening. They know what's happening, but they lie about it. And ultimately, I think if there's one theme to take away from all of this, you know, they lied about masks. They lied about PCR testing. They lied about the number of deaths from COVID. They lied about the vaccines. They lied about safety and efficacy. They lied about social distancing. They basically have not stopped lying. They lied about mod RNA, mRNA. They lied about whether it's transmissible. And at the end of the day, the question I have is, when do you trust a liar, especially one that's a habitual liar?
Kind of like, I love watching the old Perry Mason dramas when Perry goes up against Hamilton Berger. Anyway, you know, are you lying then? Or did you lie then? Or are you lying now? When do you trust a liar? I don't think you can. And I think we have to hold these criminals to account. This is incredible. And obviously the bigger picture here, just so we're on the same page, because I'm sure people would want to hear this. I mean, when do you see what is happening in the bigger realm of things? Is it depopulation? Is it, what is this? It's absolute control over everything, that's for sure.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I haven't got a single piece of paper that says, hey, we're trying to depopulate the earth. But here, at the end of the day, listen, I'm about to be able to drop some massive, massive bombs, right? Mm-hmm. We know about the links between the vaccine and cancer. We know about the links between the vaccine and all these autoimmune disorders. We know about the links between the vaccine and all of these different myocarditis, pericarditis, all these different things, right? Well, I'm getting ready and I'm hoping, and I'd love to come back here in a few weeks, but I'm hoping the next couple of weeks I'm going to have ready a massive, massive bomb. We're going to show that they knew about some of the dangers in these vaccines in a pretty profound way. And I think it's going to have a massive impact. And here's the thing. If you know that something's going to kill people and you go ahead and do it anyways, you know, I can say, well, listen, I can't prove that it's a depopulation agenda. Maybe it's just the money that they're making. But you know, I mean, when you're killing this many people.
A case can be made for negligent homicide. I mean.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't prove it. So my personal belief is personally, and I want to distinguish, because I always tell people when I can prove something, when I got evidence on it, and when I don't. To me, this looks like a duck and quacks like a duck. You've got COVID that was engineered in the lab. Mm-hmm. They knew what they engineered, and I have enough evidence to say that I'm comfortable telling you that the vaccines for COVID were engineered and built about the same time as the disease, which is normal when you're doing this sort of work. So I think this stuff has all been on the shelf since 2015-ish. And I think that they were developing it since, you know, the early teens or before. And, you know, when you know something is going to kill people and you put it out there anyways, you know, it looks like a duck. It quacks like a duck. Is it a duck? Well, I don't know, but I guess it sure seems like it. And so, you know, it's going to kill people. You know, it's going to kill lots of people. You keep doubling down and lying. And even when the data proves that it's killing lots of people, you keep pushing it. So, you know, is their goal to depopulate? I don't know. But even if it's not, that's what they're doing. You know, we're going to see the birth rates crash over the next few years. Cancer is going to skyrocket. Mark my words on this one. Cancer is going to explode. It's already happening. It's going to get a lot worse. I actually have a mechanism to explain that. And it's going to get way, way worse. And over the next, I said 3 to 5 years from 2021, when this really came out. I said at that point, 3 to 5 years, we're going to see massive numbers of people dying, people being sick, all these things. Well, we're now a couple years in. We're already seeing that pick up with excess deaths, the mortality rates, and cancer is skyrocketing. All these things are skyrocketing. Trust me when I tell you that's only going to get worse. And now they're moving this into, like I said, if you get the flu vaccine or the shingles vaccine this year, they have them out as investigative drugs with mRNA in them. And that mRNA is not actually messenger RNA. It's either mod RNA or saRNA or, you know, any of these gene therapy technologies. And understand, these are all gene therapy technologies. Moderna and Pfizer admitted it in their SEC filings. We've got tons of documentation on it. There's no question these are gene therapies, which means they are designed and structured with the intent to manipulate your genetics.
And you do have the receipts on that, as Steve Bannon would say. I know I've seen. But by the way, folks, read the free Substack, which is linked off of HagmanPI.com, about the mod mRNA. And I, by the way, I've got an extended family member who initially fought against the getting the vaccine and the booster, but you got to keep my job. It was last week. She was just diagnosed with terminal cancer and given about a month to live. And that was a latent cancer, that very aggressive form. And there's no doubt in my mind how that originated.
It breaks my heart. My wife is fighting cancer right now. She obviously did not get the jab. No one in my immediate family is getting it, and hell will freeze over before they do. But it's a horrible disease, and it's a. Yeah, I mean, I will tell you, for a separate show, I'll tell you that the work that I've been doing on cancer because of my wife, I will tell you guys, stay tuned on that, because I found that the only thing that might rival the corruption in COVID is the corruption in cancer. We give hundreds of millions of dollars a year to cancer research. And when I look at the results, it's absolute garbage, and it's intentional, because when you look at the studies, you see the same fraud that we saw in the COVID studies.
Oh, yeah. Even worse. Have you spoken with RFK Jr. at all?
Yeah, I've spoken to Bobby. I like Bobby.
Okay. About the... about his research into AIDS and all of that, because, man, I'll tell you what, second to cancer, perhaps, would be the AIDS BS.
Yeah, okay. So I haven't done firsthand research on it, but, you know, I've talked to Bobby, and, you know, his research is amazing.
Yeah,
he's done a great job over the years. By the way, you know, I'm back in Trump for president, but I really like Bobby a lot. I hope he gets the Democrat nomination. He's a good guy. And really, he's been a warrior on this for a long time. He's standing up and saying the things that need to be said. I support Bobby a lot for the Democrat nomination. But his work has been so long-term and so good. He's like Sherry. I think Bobby and Sherry are the grandparents of the whole health freedom movement. And they've been at it for so long, and they've done such amazing work. And I got to tip my hat to them, because when they started fighting this, you know, I still thought vaccines were great. I didn't take the red pill yet. And so, you know, it took a while for me to understand what was going on. And, you know, even when I started fighting, I didn't realize, you know, the depth of it. But
wow. Well, would you look, I apologize, we're up against it. Would you come back and in the next couple of weeks, whenever you have a free moment, like you really do. But come back and really we'll get into some really heavy duty topics. But I wanted to introduce you to our audience, and I'd
be honored.
I appreciate that. All right.
I'd be honored. I enjoyed the interview, Doug.
Tom, thank you so very much. God bless you. My heart goes out to you, your wife, in your fight, personal struggles. But I thank you for being the freedom fighter that you are. TomRentz.com. Thank you, Tom.